This is episode 9 of the Awards Insider podcast. Thanks to TAFE New South Wales, Australia's leading provider of vocational education and training, for sponsoring our show. Today we're talking with Warwick Shanks from KPMG Australia and auditor of judges for the Illawarra Business Awards.
Welcome to Awards Insider, the podcast for business owners who don't just want to win an award, they want to craft a killer entry that captivates the hearts and minds of judges. Learn from experts who have won, judged, and worked with awards programs all over the country. We are your insider hosts, Chance Hanlon and Miranda Packer.
Warwick Shanks is the managing partner of KPMG's office in Wollongong. Warwick's been with KPMG for over 25 years, including a 2-year secondment to the UK. He works with a wide variety of clients throughout the Illawarra and beyond, providing audit, assurance, and the broader advisory services to management teams, boards of directors, and business owners. Warwick loves living and working in our regional location, as it provides him with the opportunity to be actively involved in his local community and the business community. Warwick's been on boards and committees for a wide range of community organisations, and this is his 13th year overseeing the judging of the Illawarra Business Awards. He continues to be involved with the judging of the awards as he loves learning about the many successful businesses in the Illawarra and enjoys seeing the energy of the annual awards evening where our region comes together to celebrate business success. Every Friday night, Warwick engages in the perfect transition between the working week and the weekend by playing touch football. Welcome to the HEV studio this morning, Warwick, and lovely to have you here in the Shoalhaven, mate.
That's wonderful to be down here, and it's a beautiful spot, and I know that I need to come here more often.
Yeah, good.
We'd love to have you here more often, so thank you so much for making the trip down. It's great to actually have you here.
Well, actually, he had a breakfast in town here this morning. Where did you have breakfast? Tell us which cafe you went to.
I had breakfast at Nowra Farmers Market.
So
I caught up with Paul and just had a bit of chat with him about things and look at all the fresh food there, and it was very nice.
A good Wollongong family that have found the light and started the business here in the Shoalhaven. So.
And Paul's a previous winner of the Young Entrepreneur of the Year.
Yes, exactly right.
Welcome. Well, we want to ask you the first question. It's like the icebreaker question, mate. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Strangely enough, my mother tells me that when I was 5 years old, all I said I wanted to do was wear a suit and carry a briefcase.
Oh, well, you nailed that.
Yeah, given that I grew up in Dubbo, and I'm pretty sure that at that point I didn't know anyone who wore a suit or carried a briefcase. I think what I looked at was all the farmers and the rural background and all the different people that I saw, and I wanted to be something that was not that. And I think wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase was, to my five-year-old mind, the opposite of what I was seeing around me. And, it has worked out pretty well, although these days it's a laptop bag, not a briefcase.
Yeah, how technology's changed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Certainly has. So, Warwick, we want to chat to you today about interviews. Over the last 8 episodes, we've talked a lot about the written submission for entries for the awards. So we think it's really important to actually give our listeners some tips on how they can ace their interview. So what sort of preparation do you think that businesses should take in preparing for their interview?
Yeah, I think the main advice I'd give is that you need to take the interview seriously. So preparing for it at all is obviously an important start. People often think, I know my business really well. I wrote this application few weeks or months ago. I can just turn up and wing it and know what to do. And I think you may get across some key elements of your message, but you'll miss some points. So preparing, you know your business and you're proud of your business, so bring that knowledge and pride to the interview, but have thought about the themes of the questions. The themes will be the same as what you had in the written submission. So make sure you've considered how your business actually, how those themes play out in your business, and particularly I encourage you to have multiple examples. So for each of the different areas, have examples of things that have happened. One thing in certainly the purpose of the interview is to draw out what's really happening in your business. Sometimes the written answers can be a bit textbook-like. I've read that somewhere, I've heard that somewhere. What we want to get from the interview process is this is real, and this is real for you and your business. And the best way to do that is to talk about the things you've done. And as it flows through, it's just really important that you've got more than the one particular example. So you don't want to give the same example as an answer to every question. We want to see that the different components, it's the truth, the life of your business. So prepare, have your examples, understand the themes of the questions, and then come in ready to share your wonderful story, because that's what the awards are about.
I think that's that just makes so much sense, because you think about when you attend a job interview and you're asked for specific examples or scenarios of when you've done a particular thing, and you know that there's hundreds of them, in your library of examples of great things that you've done. But in the pressure of an interview, all of a sudden you can't think of them. So if you have an idea of what might be asked ahead and you can actually prepare a library of examples, it's just going to make you so much more comfortable and ace the interview, I imagine.
Absolutely.
You know what I find interesting? That we have business owners that have been in business for 10, 20, 30 years that have never been to a job interview because they started this business when they were quite young. And I suppose this is the closest they get to a job interview. So I feel a lot of those business owners come and they're quite nervous about the whole thing. So for me, I've never been for a job interview. So when I went for my first interview for an award, I found it very daunting. No worse than Warwick Shanks being here in the studio this morning and being nervous being interviewed. So I think there's a lot of people out there that are unsure about it. And I think sometimes that's daunting and they probably wouldn't go for an award. For those sorts of reasons.
That's a really good point, actually, and maybe that's something that we need to consider, if not for this year, but maybe next year, how we can actually do some coaching or actual face-to-face preparation to help those who have never experienced an interview before go for their first interview and at least feel a little bit confident about it.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think because what you want in the interview process is for people to be comfortable, to be able to share their story and to get across that the reason their business is so successful. That's what the awards are very much about, recognizing success, celebrating success, and using businesses as role models to others. So the more comfortable we can make that we can encourage people to be in the interview process, the more likely they are to get their full story across, and then we can share it at your awards and then the ones that come through to Illawarra and then hopefully on to New South Wales, and we can share those stories.
Tell me, Warwick, what do you believe makes an interview stand out?
I think for me, the thing that makes winners of business awards stand out is passion.
Yes.
And so a process where you really get the passion and the energy of why people are in the business that they're in. And it doesn't matter how big or how small the business is. Its success is so often driven by the passion of the people involved and the passion of the leaders. So that really come in with your A game and be ready to really share. Get comfortable and be proud of what you've done. The other thing I think is really important in the interview, which I do see sometimes, is a lot of people come into an interview thinking that this person knows who I am. They know what my business has done. You need to treat it. The judges have to judge on the written submission and what they see in the interview, not what else they know about the business, not the fact that they've worked with them or dealt with them or seen them around. Mm. So you need to come in and be not afraid to actually share the positive things. Don't think that there's something really successful that you don't need to share because people will already know about that. Mm. And entering the process, be proud of what you've done and come in. So if your pride and passion come through, then we'll get the wonderful story and you'll have a really good chance to be the winner because we'll get why your business is so successful.
Yeah, and talking with our judges from last year and reading the citations about the winners, it was really evident those that had aced the interview that had come in with such, great stories and strong passion about their business, the judges were, really evidently blown away by those businesses that, made sure that their passion was evident.
First impressions, when a judge comes to a business or when the interviewee comes to an interview, how should we dress? How should we dress up our business when they come and have a look at it?
So I think there's a couple of things in that. I do love the saying that you only get one chance to make a first impression. Mm. So don't underestimate what that first impression will be. And that first impression may actually have happened a week before when the judge rang to arrange the interview and the way that phone call was first answered.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that. Sorry, Warwick. I called a business the other day and I can't think what business it was, and obviously it was local. I wouldn't mention it, but I was really disappointed by the initial experience that I had when someone spoke with me and went to get the person that I needed to talk to. And I was just, I think I was doing some judging work at the time, and I thought, gee, if I was a judge calling your business to actually set up my appointment, I would be immediately sort of noting down that there needs to be some work done with the person who actually is the first impression of the business.
Yeah, so I think that's really important. So as I said, we do get the judges to focus on the written submission and the interviews, but the feeling and the impression that you have about a business will permeate all of those judgments that you make. So those first impressions are critical. You spoke before, Chance, it's like an interview. So you need to dress like it's an interview, but you need to dress as appropriate to your business. So if you don't wear a suit and tie in your business, don't wear a suit and tie for the interview.
So if I steel fabrication and I wear my hi-vis and things like that, then I should wear exactly that?
Absolutely.
Make sure it's clean.
A couple of different elements from that. One is that is your business. That's who you are and what you do, and you'll feel comfortable. And again, one of the things we're saying is will make you most successful in the interview is that you are yourself and you share your business and your personal experiences. So you need to feel comfortable, but you need to look the part. You need to dress like you would, and obviously be clean the business itself, it's not so much about dressing it up. It is wanting to be get that sense of this is what real life's like. This is the ordinary. That's why the phone call is actually an interesting precursor to turning up for the interview, because they're not rehearsed for who these people are that are turning up and wandering in. But the smile, the friendliness, all of those sort of things that you would do because you're a successful business anyway, those sort of things are going to happen. So creating that right first impression, being comfortable in the interview, but really you're sharing. It's a way of showcasing your business and what you do. So take that opportunity.
We talked to Robbie Collins the other day from Wollongong Uni, the Shoalhaven campus. She talked about a particular business, and when she walks in there, there was a particular buzz. That was her word. When she walked in, she said, I just love walking in here and getting this buzz. And I suppose that's what a judge wants to see.
Absolutely.
And hear.
You get a sense when you walk into a business, you get a sense of what it's like. You get a sense of whether the people are happy to be there. You get a sense of how genuine they are about what they do. You also get a sense about how in control of their business they are.
Yep.
My day job is mostly auditing and assurance, and you get a sense when you walk into a client of the ones that are in control.
Yep.
And that's an important feeling for me to have about my client. It's the same as a judge of an award. So you want to feel that this business is there's an energy level about the place. They're professional in the broadest sense of professional. They're not professional as in lawyers and accountants in suit and ties, but they're professional in their approach to their business, and that it gives you that good feeling. So that when they are answering the question, and they might stumble a little bit, and that's fine, because you actually get that they might be nervous, and you understand that. But also when they give examples of their business, you're also correlating that to, well, does that match with what I've seen?
Yes.
You talk about customers are your most important people, but I waited at reception for 15 minutes before anyone wandered across, and I could have been a customer. That sort of sense is really important. So it is. Take it seriously is the key element.
And that's one of the reasons why I didn't rush down this morning. I wanted to make sure you walked through the showroom and you checked everything out before I got to you.
It worked perfectly. I got to have a good look around.
Now, mate, based on your experiences where possible, does it work better to have more than one person to participate in the interview, or your experiences?
I think it does. I think it's good to have two people generally. I think there's a couple of different elements there. One is that you'll get a couple of different perspectives. So if someone, no matter how well prepared you are, just goes blank on a question, or as we said, you've got lots of examples, but when you're actually put on the spot, can you remember the example? Then the second person can provide the example. I think it's important that they're similar seniority within the organisation, so that there's a comfort level that you're not one's not looking to the other to get permission to speak, that they're both comfortable that either of them can answer the question, they're both comfortable to answer. And certainly if you bring two people, then or three people even at times, I think two people is a good number. You want them both to contribute. They're there because they're part of the business. If you really are a sole trader and you're the key person, don't bring someone just because I've said you should have two people.
Yep.
But two people who are actively an important part of the business. Some of the categories in particular are more, if I use the word, behavioural type awards rather than the industry or business that you're in. Mm. So it might be the person who actually leads that part of your practice. So the employer of choice type area, you might have your HR, the person who leads your HR function, your people function, because they can give the more practical examples. And then as the business owner or leader, you're demonstrating your support for those activities and allowing that person to answer and be part of it. So two people's really good if they're relevant. You certainly don't want to have two people where one doesn't say anything and it's all led by one person.
Don't bring a support person along just to make yourself feel better.
No, that's right. So you absolutely want them to be part of the interview process. That will reflect better on you and your business, in my view.
Yeah. What are some of the common mistakes or oversights that you've seen in interviews?
I think not answering the question. So a lot of it, as I said, at the end of the day, judges are comparing a number of different finalists who they've interviewed. They're comparing the answers to questions. So it's important that whilst you want to have a good conversation about your business, you also need to make sure you've addressed the question that you've been asked, so that at the end, when the judges sit down and try to take some of the passion out and actually distill what the answers were, that they can actually make an assessment across those answers and have an objective score of your business. So it's almost don't get too carried away with your enthusiasm. Make sure that at each point you come back to the question. And as I said, the other one would be making sure you've got that broad range of examples. So I've seen people where they have one really good example and they get good nods and smiles and responses the first time they use it. So they use it every answer. And after a while, again, when you sit back and you're looking at comparing businesses, the one that only gave you one example, no matter how good that example was, one example is not going to be enough to generally for you to win that category.
Yeah.
So you still need to, even if that is your best one and you have to use it, make sure you've tailored it each time to the right answer. So it's really the same as in the written submissions, which if you've obviously done a good written submission to get to this stage, it's the people in the written submissions who actually don't answer the question, don't provide the information. So you really, it is an interview. You are giving someone some information that later they can actually score and determine a winner, and so it's important that you actually answer the question. So that would be, for me, the key.
I think the coming back to the question is actually really key. Like, I think of all the interviews that I've participated in, employment interviews over the years, and nerves can get the better of you, and you can be answering a question and then suddenly you realise you have no idea what the question is that you're answering, and you head off on a tangent and you get further and further away from the question. And I think it's good to let people know that it's actually okay to kind of stop, take stock of the fact that you've moved away from what the question is, and if you need to, ask the judge again what the question is so that you're actually answering what they're asking you rather than what you think they're asking.
Yeah, I strongly support that. So the interview is a discussion, and there's nothing wrong with at some point going, sorry, I think I've got a bit off track. What was the key element to your question? And actually asking that back. It's not, we don't want any situation where an interviewer asks a question and then sits there stony-faced and listens to the answer and writes it all down. It's a conversation around the question topic. So if you get yourself a little bit lost, and I do it all the time, then ask the question, just get yourself back on track. And if you're not quite sure, ask and clarify and work it through.
It's good to bring some key elements with you about your business, maybe a couple of examples of what you've done, some pretty pictures or anything like that. Does it help in any way? Or
I think it does. I think it's good to be able to showcase what you've done and provide some visual support for those examples. Yeah. The thing I talk about with judges, though, is not accepting hospitality beyond a cup of tea. And so if suddenly it says the crate of champagne for you to have on the way out, no, that's not the sort of thing we want to do. But actually,
unless you're a winery and you're wanting to showcase your goods.
Even if you are a winery and you want to showcase your goods, providing multiple bottles of it to the judges is not appropriate. But certainly sharing and showing.
A single glass might be suitable.
Absolutely. And showing elements of your business and showing. So, yes, in the Shoalhaven element, we are probably visiting you in your workplace. And so you can show part of that as we're there. Mm. When your winners make the Illawarra Awards, that interview will be conducted on neutral territory. And so bringing some material along, we encourage people to bring material and share, but ultimately you can't answer a question by saying it's all in this brochure and hand the brochure across. The judge won't go through the brochure to find the answer to the question. You can use it to show how you've done something and what the elements are, but it has to be part of the interview process. You have to share it verbally as well as showing the pictures.
Miranda, an important thing I've always said over the years, doesn't matter if you don't win, but every judge that you meet is a potential customer.
Absolutely.
Customer, so, supplier, door opener to someone else.
Exactly right, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the network.
Yeah, one of the things I love each year, I said it's my 13th year and I only counted this year because I'd originally said I was going to do 5 and I stopped counting after 4 because I actually really enjoyed the process. But I've been asked quite a few times in the last year, how many years is it? So in the process of moving offices, I was cleaning out and confirmed the certificate from the first year that I did it. So this is my 13th year. Many of our judges come back every year as well, and what really satisfies me about that is, notwithstanding that I put them through a very structured judging process, they come back. And when I speak to them about why they come back, they just love the businesses that they interview.
Yeah.
They become real advocates, not only for their winners. And I can see a judge who for a variety of reasons, may not have judged for a few years, and they'll still be able to tell me not only the business that won their category, but what they're doing now. They follow that business. They enjoy its success. But they speak highly of all of the finalists. Mm. And one of the most challenging parts for them, and why I make it quite rigid in having a numerical scoring process, is they actually fall in love, in a sense, with each of their finalists, and they want all of them to win. And sometimes I have some difficulty of actually making sure we end up with a winner and perhaps a highly commended. And we work through that. So they become absolute advocates for your business in the wider market. So that and a lot of that does, as we said, comes from the passion and the energy. And the reason we continue to be involved in the awards is there are so many businesses out there that are doing great things who, for a variety of reasons, that doesn't get shared day to day, perhaps because of the nature of the business they're in, it doesn't work directly for them to be sharing. So the awards is a chance for us to celebrate and showcase success. And as I said, I love the fact that the judges will be able to tell me their winners, their finalists, and they follow them for years to come.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's wonderful.
Your top 3 tips this morning. I want to nail this interview. So tell me your 3 best tips so I can get through this interview and be a standout.
Okay, so number 1 tip is you have to know what was in your written submission.
Mm.
whether you wrote it yourself or whether you had help to actually get the content into a better form for the reader,
yep.
it's really important that you know what was said.
Yep.
You would be surprised how often we get a disconnect between they say really good things in the interview that don't match the really good things that they said, and you actually get a sense of how does this work. So it's knowing what you wrote in the submission and then making it real for the judge. So we know it's not just a textbook answer. We know you're not giving us what you want us to hear. You're actually giving us those real examples. So know what you wrote, have a number of really good examples, and just share your passion and enjoyment and be confident you have a great business. That's why you're here, and the judges genuinely want to hear about it. So share and enjoy.
Really great tips. Thank you so much for joining us today, Warwick. We really appreciate you making the trip down to the HEV studio and helping our listeners prepare best for their interviews.
Wonderful. Thanks for the opportunity. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Warwick.
Thanks for listening to the Awards Insider Podcast, Episode 9. Thanks to TAFE New South Wales, our show sponsor. TAFE New South Wales offers the best off-campus-based delivery as well as flexible online and work-based learning. We hope you enjoyed listening to Warwick and now feel ready to nail your awards interview. This was the last episode of the Awards Insider for 2017. We hope you enjoyed listening to our show as much as we enjoyed producing it. We encourage you to please rate and review our show in the iTunes Store so that as many people as possible can benefit from all the great tips our guests shared with us.
This podcast is brought to you by the HEV Studios.